Good afternoon. We're pleased to be here out on the street at Buchanan Street in Glasgow. We're representatives of Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're a local church based in Partick. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Go up the hill there, and first of all, you'll come to Thornwood Primary School. Then you'll see our building on the crossroads next door, 2 Thornwood Terrace. Come along on the Lord's Day, Sunday, 11 a.m., or an early evening service at 6 p.m., or a Wednesday evening service at 7:30. We would extend a warm welcome to everyone to come along and to make themselves more familiar with the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see so many young people passing by, and you know the Bible has something to say to the young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's not that long ago that I was young myself, and I can remember what it was like. Life was very fast moving and exciting, and the one thing I didn't want to consider was religion or the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, it's important that you consider these things in your youth, that you make your calling and election sure, and that you embrace Christ as he is freely offered to you in the gospel at a young age. Because many people hear the gospel when they're young, and they may well accept the gospel in some sense. They might see that it's completely and utterly reasonable. But they might say to themselves, I'll consider Christianity when I'm a bit older. I want to live my life. I want to have the fun and the joy of this world. And then maybe when I'm older, then I will consider Christ. Well, you usually find that that time never comes. Because as you get on, what happens? You meet someone, you get married, you have children, and before you know where you are, you're a granddad. And life's going on. And life's getting a bit harder as you get older. It takes more effort to do the things that you were able to do very easy before. And that's why this verse tells us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And that is true. When you get older, life can be more and more difficult. And even the basic and ordinary things of life take far more effort. And therefore, it's important that you deal with the most important matter in your life first and foremost when you're young. Because it's not an easy thing to be a Christian. It's not easy to repent. It's not easy to believe. It's not easy to walk on the narrow road that leads unto life. It's not easy to take up your cross and to follow the Lord Jesus. And that's why we must do it when we're young. We must embrace Him while we're young. We must seek the Lord when we're young. Give our lives to Him in the prime of our life. That's what the Bible would exhort you to do. And these words that I've quoted to you, they came from Solomon. Who is Solomon? Solomon was a king. He was King David's son, and he became king. And he was the wisest man in the world, apart from Christ himself. And Solomon lived and enjoyed everything that this world could give him. He had women. He had wine. He had song. He had work. He had all kinds of things. And he had wisdom galore. And he lived his life in the world. But he came to his senses, and to the end of his days, he repented and he wrote this, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Therefore, come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Call upon Him while He is near. You know, the Bible tells us this is what we are to do. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That would tell us, friends, that there is a time, maybe, when we will call upon Him and He will not be near. In some sense, He is near to us this afternoon. Here we are, out in the street. What are we doing? Are we talking about philosophy? Are we talking about the news agenda? Are we talking about finance? No, we're talking about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, in some sense, presenting the claims of Christ to you this afternoon. Christ, in some sense, is near to you this afternoon. It's more than likely that you've never thought about the Lord Jesus today at all. Maybe you've taken His word as a swear word. Maybe that's what you've done. But you've never really thought about the Lord Jesus at all. Well, here you are, friends. You've been passing by and you're within earshot and you're hearing something about Jesus, about the Son of God, how He came to heaven, how He came to earth, left heaven behind. Why did He do this? Why did He do this? Well, the Bible tells us this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, the Apostle Paul says. There we have the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God, and He has come from heaven. And He's come on a mercy mission. What is that mission? That mission is to seek and to save that which was lost. I wonder, do we realize that as far as God is concerned, we are lost. We are lost as far as God is concerned. We're lost because we're sinners. We're lost because we're estranged from God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what He has done, and that's what He is doing, and that's what He will continue to do until that day when He shall return. Yes, friends, you might not realize that, but Jesus Christ will return. He has come the first time. We know many people deny, obviously, that Christ came, but there is tremendous historical evidence to support the claim that Jesus Christ had come. You could think of the very fact that time itself was divided. Time would never be divided if Christ had not come. We have BC before Christ. We have AD in the year of our Lord. No one would ever possibly be able to do that unless there was a real historical figure like Jesus who had such an important impact upon humanity, so much so that humanity changed time to take note of His birth. But this same Jesus who returned into heaven after His death and resurrection, He ascended up into heaven, and one day, friends, this same Jesus will return in like manner. Don't think that the world has seen the last of the Lord Jesus. Behold, He cometh in the clouds. Read it for yourself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, even those that pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail and mourn because of Him. Why will they wail and why will they mourn? They will mourn and wail because that will be a terrible day when the Lord Jesus returns. It will not be a day to proclaim the gospel. It will not be a day to tell sinners to repent and to believe upon Christ. It will not be a time to seek the Lord. It will not be a time to get right with God. Instead, it will be a time when the Lord Jesus will sit on His throne and He shall judge every individual that ever lived. That is incredible, is it not? Jesus on His great white throne. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we come out, friends. We come out and we leave our homes behind. We leave our churches and our pulpits and the security of these places. We come out into the marketplace where the people are, and we seek to bring the good news of the gospel, that although by nature we are condemned because we are sinners, yet God, yes, God has provided a way of reconciliation, a way whereby He Himself has been reconciled to mankind, and what's required of us is that we repent and that we believe the gospel. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn away from our sins. What is sin? Sin is any want of or conformity unto the law of God. God has given us a law. That law is inflexible. We have broken it. All mankind has broken it. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And to be righteous means to be able to stand in the presence of God. There is none righteous. There is none that can stand before God in of themselves. That's why we proclaim to everyone today that a Savior is needed. One who fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, and one who paid the penalty for that law that was broken on our behalf. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said on one occasion, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The judge, friends, will be Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, and the one who was put into a borrowed tomb. He arose, and this one who rose victorious over the grave shall be our judge on that day. How will you fare on that day? How will it be for you on that awesome day? You need a Savior on that day. Who will that Savior be? What are you trusting? You can only trust in one who has dealt with the greatest problem, that of our sin. Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're a local congregation. We're a Scottish registered charity. And we're out here seeking to bring the good news of the gospel to you this afternoon. And indeed, the gospel is good news. But you'll never appreciate and you'll never understand what the good news is unless you first understand your great need of Christ. And the Bible tells us we've all sinned. Our first parents were created perfectly, but they sinned, and we've all come from them, and we've inherited their sinful nature, and that sinful nature reveals itself and manifests itself in sinful action, whereby we break God's law. God's law may be summed up in the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Command 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment 8, thou shalt not steal. Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Commandment 10, thou shalt not covet. These are the Ten Commandments. You'll find them in Exodus chapter 20. Read them for yourself. There God gave them to mankind, and he wrote them with his own finger on tables of stone, reminding us that these commandments are perpetual, and these are God's standards and requirements for every single one of us. And if you even look at the first commandment, which says, thou shalt have no other God before me, I put it to you, friend, if we understand what that commandment means, we have broken that commandment, every one of us. How have we broken that commandment? We've broken that commandment because we have other gods. We worship other gods. A god is anything that takes the place that is rightly due to the living God. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. That's what's required of the Ten Commandments. Now, do we love the Lord our God? The answer is we don't. We love ourselves. And more than likely, it is ourselves that we worship. Or it's our possessions. Or it's our money. Or it's our spouses. Or our children. Or our grandchildren. Or maybe it's our properties. Or maybe it's our entertainments. Or maybe it's our sport. Maybe we're football mad and we'll follow our team wherever they go. We spend an enormous amount of time and money following them. If you think more of your football or of your entertainment or of your money or your possessions or your education than you do about God, then these are your idols. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Bible says. This is not a time to shake our heads. This is a time to be sober and to consider the claims of the Bible. Because, friends, you can live your life successfully to a certain extent without any reference to God. You can turn your backs upon the claims of the Lord Jesus for a certain amount of time. But the time will come when you'll go the way of all the earth like everyone else. And on that day, friends, you will wish that you had a Savior. And the only God-appointed Savior is Jesus Christ the Lord. We know there are many religions, but all of them are false. All of them, without exception, they're all false because they cannot take us to God. They cannot reconcile us to God. Only Christ can. He himself did say, I am the way and the truth and the life. Hear this, no man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, no one will go to heaven, no one will be in glory unless Jesus Christ takes them. And that's why he is unique. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. One mediator, one God. There may be many, many religions, and we know there are. And many people might think there are many, many gods, but there are none but one. And there is one God and one mediator. There's one go-between, and that person is Jesus Christ. And in order to have your sins forgiven, and in order to be reconciled to God, you must have Christ. You must have Him. You must be in Christ. Why is it so important? It's so important because He's the one who has come and worked out a salvation for us. What does the word salvation mean? Salvation means to be delivered, to be freed, to be emancipated. And what are we to be free from? What is it salvation from? It is salvation from sin. That's the most important problem that we have. A problem that none of the politicians can possibly deal with. It's completely and utterly out with their scope. They haven't got the ability and cannot address this problem. They cannot even recognize it. But the Bible does. And the Bible tells us this is a great problem. It might not be a great problem to you, but it certainly is a great problem to God, because it causes our relationship to be severed. The relationship that we should have with Him is severed because of our sin. But God in His wisdom has done something about it. He has sent His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. It was all the initiative of God. He did something. He sent His Son. His Son came willingly. His Son did everything that was required in order to save His people. And having done that, friends, we are out here and we are bringing the good news of the gospel to you this afternoon. Now, what are you going to do? No, that's a great way to speak to someone you don't know anything about. People make Glasgow, they like to tell us, well, it's the preaching of the gospel that makes Glasgow unique. And friends, we're out here, we're seeking to tell you the good news of the gospel. And there comes a point when you must come to Him. You must believe upon Him. You must embrace Him. You must seek the Lord while He may be found. You must call upon Him while He is near. The Bible goes on, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You know, many people, they have a fear of God. It's not the kind of fear of God they should have, but they have a fear of God. What is that fear? The fear is that they run away from Him. But the fear we should have to God is that we run to Him, because it's only God that can deal with our problem. And this is why our churches are empty this afternoon. And on the Lord's Day, when we preach the gospel, people are afraid of God. And they run from Him, just like our first parents. When they sinned, what do? They hid from God. And that's what people are doing all the time. They're hiding from God. And they're hiding because they don't think that God will welcome them. But God is a merciful God. If we will but turn to Him in repentance, if we will turn from our sins, He will receive us. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That's the God of the Bible, friends. He is merciful. He delights in mercy. But it's mercy on his terms. And his terms are quite clear. Repent. Turn from your sin. Forsake your sin. Forsake your idolatry. Forsake your Sabbath breaking. Forsake your lying. Forsake your cheating. Forsake your gossiping. Forsake your fornication. Forsake your adultery. All of these things. Forsake your covetousness. Forsake your lying. And come and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will receive you. You know, many people think that there's no mercy with God. There's no mercy with God. And therefore they run from him. They have this fear to run away from him. But the way to deal with God, friends, is to run to him. It's to embrace him upon his terms. And his terms are completely and utterly inflexible. He's not going to negotiate with you or I. He has worked out a way whereby we can be saved. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to believe upon his only begotten Son. That's the only way to be saved. And we must therefore come to him on his terms. And if we come to him on his terms, we will find that he will receive us. You could go to the cross. Do you know the story of the cross? You know that Jesus was crucified. He was there crucified in the middle of two thieves. And these thieves had been murderers. And they were being rightly punished for their crime. And at one time, the two thieves, what were they doing? They were cursing the Lord Jesus. They were snarling at him. Then, all of a sudden, one of the thieves began to change his mind. And he began to realize that this was no ordinary individual that was being crucified beside him. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me, a poor thief. Remember me, a murderer." What did Jesus say to him? Did Jesus tell him, "Get lost"? Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In other words, his sins were forgiven. He was reconciled to God. He turned to the Lord Jesus. "Remember me," is what he said. He didn't pray like a minister of the gospel. He didn't pray like a clergyman. He simply turned to the Lord Jesus, and in effect, he asked for mercy, and he was received. Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We need never fear coming to the Lord Jesus. He will receive us. Maybe you've lived a dark life. Maybe your sins are troubling you. Your former sins, the things that you've done, the things that you've said, the life that you've lived. And maybe the devil is saying to you, "It's too late for you. You're beyond redemption. You cannot be saved." Well, that is a lie from hell. We're here this afternoon to tell you that there is mercy with our God. It's mercy on his terms. His terms are, you must repent and you must believe the gospel concerning his Son. You must believe that he is the Son of God and that he suffered and died for sinners, that he's God's way of salvation. And if you believe, friends, your sins will be forgiven and you shall have the gift of eternal life. Is this not wonderful? Is this not glorious? Do you wonder then that we come out and tell you these things? Maybe you've never heard this before. Very often, friends, you might go to a Christian place of worship and you'll never hear these things. But what I'm telling you, you'll find in God's Word. You'll find it in the Bible. And all I'm simply doing is seeking to articulate God's word to you this afternoon. Yes, I do. I'm very happy you do. That's good. Yeah. Wonderful news. Why don't you... Maybe I'll turn it up, actually. Because obviously people are hearing it and we're very, very happy. Friends, if what I'm saying is true, and it is true, and we have a wonderful message, why should we keep this message to ourselves? Would you not say that I was somewhat inhuman if I found a remedy for a fatal disease and I kept it to myself? Would you not say that I was a strange individual if I didn't go out and tell other sufferers that I found a cure? This man will cure you. This man will cure your incurable disease. If I kept that knowledge to myself, would I not be a strange individual? Would you not say that I was rather cruel? I found the Lord Jesus. Or I may accurately say, He has found me, and He has forgiven my sins, and He can forgive your sins. How can He forgive your sins? Come to Him. Call upon Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your religion and look to the Lord Jesus, because that's what Christianity is all about. It's about a person. It's about what He's done. It's what He's done for mankind. It's what He's done for millions and millions of people, and maybe yet for many who are yet unborn, for all who will put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will know the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries, but may God bless.